Cameron Moore here at Ed Fringe Week Zero is going to do the impossible. Well, of course, she can do it. I can't. She's got three shows at the Fringe, and she's going to thread them together for me in the next couple of minutes.
Well, thread them together. I don't know. Two of them are very similar to each other in terms of content. Everybody who knows me on Fringe knows that I mostly do like sexually themed shows. So, of course, I have Smut Slam back this year, but I am doing it in the open mic format, which means that audience members get a chance to tell their own stories, possibly win prizes. That's very exciting. That's the thing that I do around the world, and I'm really happy to be bringing it to Edinburgh.
And what's the slam for people that don't know?
The slam simply means that people are competing, and it's only ever like very good spirited. There's no like, I'm going to take you out back and mess you up. But people are encouraged to bring in their best, finest stories of firsts, sexual or kink firsts. And then we have a panel of celebrity judges on both nights of the Smut Slam, and they will be awarding prizes from Luke and Jack, which is a Glasgow sex toy store.
So at the heart of this wrestling metaphor of a slam is storytelling.
Yeah, this is storytelling at its most basic, I think, where we all are naturally inclined as human beings to want to tell stories to each other. This is kind of part of what makes us that. And by bringing in audience members as opposed to curating performers to tell, what happens is a really genuinely authentic kind of space of sharing and learning, surprisingly. We learn a lot from each other. I learn something new every Smut Slam, so it's a great time for that.
So I've had great fun at Smut Slam, and then I see a show called Sex Ed, a cabaret of play.
Yes.
And you're not going to thread, you're going to lace that one together with...
Yeah. So the Sex Ed show, a cabaret of play, is meant to be a sort of a mashup, a variety show, combining my talents with those of a puppeteer who I met in Berlin, where I live now. Her name is Ducky LaRange, and she does amazing puppetry and kind of almost clowning with objects. Together, we put together an hour of... Again, sexual content. I tell kind of almost supernatural stories about sex, magical items and wishes that went awry, and Ducky plays with puppets. And then we have audience quizzes and games and more prizes, and there's a little bit of a mess, and it's all good fun. It's possibly one of the silliest cabarets for adults that you're going to find at the Fringe.
We've got that word storytelling again.
Yes.
And now we come on to Muse.
Yes. So Muse is storytelling about something altogether different in a very different environment. In Muse, I am running an hour and a half life drawing session. For those of you who don't know what life drawing is, it's usually done nude, with the model nude, and people sketch or draw different poses. And then I'm combining that with storytelling and conversation that eventually emerges between myself and the audience. I will be doing relating stories about working in life modeling as a plus-size performer, and also kind of stories from my life out in the world. And then opening the floor to anybody who wants to ask questions or share their own experiences. People can draw or not. They can listen the whole time if they want. They don't have to talk at all. They can kind of dip in and out of those different activities as audience members. So it's very immersive, but not in a way that feels like it's being forced upon you. It's really like we bring the art supplies and... my naked body and my endless store of stories about that body, and you can interact as you choose.
The way I've heard that, the word that comes to mind is facilitator, and I like one definition in there is it makes things easier. And so Cameron Moore, I put it to you, I accuse you in a good way here at the Fringe, because
okay.
The Fringe is a good place for this, of making talking about sex, sharing stories about it, being with that, easier. You know, more normal, more okay,
yes,
for people. And that's a big part of what you're about here.
I would agree. I think that one of the things that I seem to be very good at, that I seem to have a skill at, is talking about sensitive subjects in a way that helps people feel comfortable, having questions, bringing their own weirdness around it, and examining that and sharing it with others, both in terms of sex and in terms of the body. Those are very sensitive, awkward subjects for a lot of people, and if I can make a little bit of space in the world where it's okay to feel awkward, it's okay to have these concerns or questions, let's talk about it. If I can do that, I feel that not only am I bringing something good and rare to the Fringe, but also to the world.
Do these ideas for shows come to you easily, or do you have to kind of fight for them?
These ideas come kind of easily, in that they emerge out of conflicts or situations in my own life that I am trying to resolve. But those conflicts are not always what you'd think. So, for example, Smut Slam, it wasn't that I felt like repressed in telling my sex stories in that way. It's that I was trying to go out and tell sex stories at mainstream story slams, where they were not particularly happy. As it turns out, the audiences, although they were adult audiences, they didn't want to hear stories about sex. They just didn't. They were not into it. And so I created Smut Slam as a space where I could share my stories about sex and make space for other people. So primarily, many of my shows are because I want to make space for what I'm doing, and I figure other people, they'll join in if they want to. Things like Muse, though, that was very organically part of my own, drawn from my own life and inspired by the absolute rage that I felt after a life drawing experience, a life modeling experience that was not very good. And I didn't tell about this in Muse, but I left there feeling like, what is wrong with people? They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what I'm doing there. And that's what's like, well, they have no idea, because in life modeling, the model never talks. Maybe I should tell them what's going through my head. Maybe I should tell them what it's like to be in that space of naked, surrounded by 25 people.
And then you're drawing process, not just object.
Then you are drawing context. Then you are putting additional layers of meaning. Which, let me be clear, I don't think that most life drawing sessions need this. I am not offering Muse as a life drawing session purely. Although I do hope that artists who are at the Fringe or in Edinburgh will come to it and enjoy it as a chance to work with a model whose body type is pretty rare in the field. But it is, for those who want it, so most artists, they just want practice drawing the body, right? But for those who want to have a little bit more of a psychological or emotional overlay or experience around it, or just want some insight into the minds of the people or one person who is providing them a service here, it's an amazing chance to get that. And also, because the way a life drawing session flows, especially toward the end, there's a lot of... I don't talk continuously throughout the show. I leave space. And people have found, when I've workshopped this in Berlin and London, they have found that there's a very meditative quality to the experience as well, because we've got a kind of a soundtrack that kind of puts you in a certain zone, and we've got a lot of space where people can just kind of soak it in. So never mind like layers of emotional context, you just have lots of time to make from it what you want, whether that's sketch time, whether that's meditation on the nature of mortality and other people's bodies, whatever you want to bring to it, there's room in Muse for that.
Two final questions. One of the words that has woven this conversation together and these three shows is storytelling. What are the elements of a good told story?
I think that most importantly, I mean, there are going to be like technique, you know, there's things like, you know, get bring in the detail, you know, find the emotional core, whatever. Those are important, but I think telling a good story, a good personal story, that is to say, a good autobiographical story, relies on your honesty about what was happening for you in the moment, and relies on your being willing to share that with your listener and really open that up. I think that I would say that honesty is the most important quality for me, certainly. If I don't judge at the Smut Slam, I'm not a judge, I'm the host, right? But I've seen audiences certainly respond best to stories where the person is clearly up there telling their truth and inhabiting it in that moment when they're telling it. And that is more compelling than almost anything else.
Final question is, theatre performance often disrupts, and it can disrupt people in all kinds of ways. I've sensed in this conversation there's a kind of loving intention in this disruption.
Yes.
But good theatre that does that also disrupts the disruptor. So from that time a long time ago when I walked past you in the street and you had a typewriter and you were typing porn stories to order and you've done other shows and now these three, if you look back on all of that, how have you changed? How has doing this work disrupted you in whatever way?
I would say that doing this work and following my own trail along the subjects that grab me about the works or the themes, and also focusing on storytelling, which is a very rigorous sort of thing to engage in on a regular basis. Like, every time I do a Smut Slam in other countries, for example, every Smut Slam I'm bringing a new story out and just kind of opening it up, and everyone gets to see and have a piece of me, right? So it can be very strenuous. But I have learned to from doing these works that it is better by far to put in that time, to put in that energy, to tear little bits of myself out for whatever the show needs, than to try to market to a more popular standpoint. I think that's been disrupted. Okay. Let's be honest. Like, many people come to the Fringe Festival, this Fringe, and think, I'm going to make it. I'm gonna be a breakthrough. We don't all acknowledge it. We don't all talk about it. But, like, it's been... I'm ambitious. I am an ambitious person, and I definitely have been moving through the Canadian Fringes and this Fringe and UK Fringes with the idea that I'm going to make it somehow and I'm going to do the breakthrough. And I would struggle constantly with, like, this is the work that I want to do and feels called to do, and this is the work that the world rewards. And as I do these shows that are really dependent on honesty, I have come to peace. I have come to a sort of peace and acceptance about the work that I do is never going to be a breakthrough. It's never going to be a blockbuster. And actually, that involves a lot of grief and letting go of a dream. I had to let that go. And it's only been in the last couple of years that I've really kind of sat with that. But having let go of that, I can now sit with a more peaceful, modest kind of, this is the work that I'm called to do. And it's good and needed at the level that it exists. Does that make sense?
Well, kind of. And I'm glad it doesn't. But I did hear something like, I don't want to use the metaphor rising above the game, but when you step outside the game, you realize something else is happening, that you might be glad that you stepped outside the game.
I am, yeah, and I can't say, like, none of us are ever finished works, right? Like, I'm sure I'll revisit this ambition of mine again, but there is that sense of, like, I can't win this game that I thought I was playing. So I step out of that, and, like, what is outside is not a game, it's it's a really good conversation that I get to have with many people around some really important subjects. So I like that.
And what you haven't said, and maybe it's humbleness, but or because it's right under your nose, is there is a game up here, but that doesn't mean people that don't play the game don't do great work here. And, you know, you have a reputation and people see your shows and talk finely about them. You've only got three this year, though. I mean, are you cutting back?
Scaling back.
Yeah. Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Oh, thank you.